The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's stories include, Yellen says higher interest rates would be a plus for the U.S. Fed. And FDA approves first drug to slow decline of Alzheimer's disease. And we'll begin with higher interest rates would be a plus for the U.S. Fed. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said that President Joe Biden's $4 trillion spending plan would be good for the U.S. even if it contributes to rising inflation and results in higher interest rates. If we ended up with a slightly higher interest rate environment, it would actually be a plus for society's point of view and the Fed's point of view, Yellen said Sunday in an interview with Bloomberg News during her return from the Group of Seven Finance Ministers meeting in London. The debate around inflation has intensified in recent months between those like Yellen who argue that current price increases are being driven by transitory anomalies created by the pandemic, such as supply chain bottlenecks and a surge in spending as economies reopen, and critics who say trillions in government aid could fuel a lasting spike in cost. Biden's packages would add up to roughly $400 billion in spending per year, she said, contending that's not enough to cause an inflation overrun. Any spurt in prices resulting from the rescue package will fade away next year. We've been fighting inflation that's too low and interest rates that are too low now for a decade, the former Federal Reserve Chair said, adding that we want them to go back to a normal interest rate environment. And if this helps a little bit to alleviate things, then that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. The headline measure of consumer prices rose 4.2% in the 12 months through April, and the numbers for May are due to be published on Thursday. The Fed has committed to only begin scaling back the $120 billion monthly pace of its assets purchases after their substantial further progress on inflation and employment. The U.S. job growth picked up in May along with worker pay, and the unemployment rate fell to 5.8%, according to a Labor Department report on Friday. Next, FDA approves first drug to slow decline of Alzheimer's disease. The Food and Drug Administration on Monday approved the first Alzheimer's treatment intended to slow cognitive decline, a move hailed by patients and advocates, but sharply criticized by others who argued there was not sufficient evidence the drug works. The medication, called aducanumab, it's the first drug cleared for Alzheimer's that is designed to alter the course of the disease by slowing the deterioration of brain function, not just to ease symptoms. No Alzheimer's treatment has been approved since 2003, reflecting the extraordinarily high failure rate of drugs developed for the illness. But in an explicit acknowledgement of the uncertainties about the effectiveness of the drug, the FDA did not grant the medication full approval. Instead, the agency cleared the drug. Its brand name will be Aduhelm, it's A-D-U-H-E-L-M, based on its ability to reduce clumps of amyloid beta in the brain, a hallmark of the disease. It ordered the drug's maker, the biotech giant Biogen to conduct a post-approval study confirming that the medicine actually slows cognitive deterioration. If the medication does not provide such a clinical benefit, the FDA's approval could be withdrawn. Patrizia Cavazzoni, director of the FDA's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, said officials believe it is reasonably likely that the reduction in amyloid clumps will confer important benefits to patients. Monday's FDA decision was the most contentious in years and followed prolonged debate among researchers, doctors, patients, and advocates about whether the medication works, a consequence of the drug's complicated history. One of the biggest points of disagreement is whether a reduction in amyloid beta, a sticky compound that many scientists believe damages communication between brain cells and eventually kills them, results in a slowdown in cognitive decline. Advocacy groups and patients praise the FDA decision, citing the paucity of drugs to help patients and saying the approval would stimulate newfound interest and investment in researching therapies for the progressive terminal illness and give patients valuable time to be with their families and to perform everyday tasks. The decision is a victory for people living with Alzheimer's and their families, said Harry Johns, president and chief executive of the Alzheimer's Association. Jeff Borgoff, 57, who was diagnosed with early stage Alzheimer's 5 years ago and has received aducanumab in clinical trials, expressed elation about the FDA decision. "This is epic news," said Borgoff, a resident of Forked River, New Jersey, who credits the drug with keeping his condition stable. "Now I may have time to watch my kids get married. My wife said I have more time with you now." But critics assail the decision, arguing that data on the drug's effectiveness is weak and that the FDA approval represents a dangerous lowering of standards in response to pressure from patients and advocacy groups. "I am surprised and disappointed," said Caleb Alexander, an internist and epidemiologist at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and a member of the FDA advisory committee that last fall resoundingly rejected the drug. "I think this product was driven across the line by the magnitude of unmet need, which is enormous," he said. "But unmet needs can't trump regulatory standards, and my concern is that in this instance they may have." Alexander also noted that other amyloid-reducing drugs have not been shown to improve cognition, a point disputed by FDA officials who said an internal agency study indicated that eliminating amyloid clumps could be helpful to patients. Public Citizen, a watchdog group and frequent critic of the FDA, said in a statement Monday that the agency's close collaboration with Biogen before and after the company's application seeking approval dangerously compromised the integrity of the agency's review. The FDA's Cavazzoni said she was satisfied the interaction between the staff and the company was appropriate and necessary, given the FDA's questions and the complexity of Biogen's application. The intravenous treatment does not cure Alzheimer's disease or reverse it. On Monday, Biogen said it would charge $56,000 a year per patient, making it a blockbuster product for the company and added billions of dollars to the nation's health tab. Its stock rose 38%. A Boston group that assesses the value of treatments, the Institute for Clinical and Economic Review, said earlier this year that aducanumab to be cost-effective should be priced at $2,500 to $8,000 a year per patient. Medicare is likely to shoulder much of the cost of the drug given the age of people with Alzheimer's, but it has not indicated its plans for coverage. Private payers will be under intense pressure to pay for the treatment, but may push back on the price. It's not clear yet how much patients on government or private insurance will have to pay in cost sharing. The medication is a monoclonal antibody, a protein made in the laboratory that can bind to substances, in this case clumps of amyloid beta. It is designed to trigger an immune response that reduces the plaques. About 6.2 million Americans have Alzheimer's, a number projected to more than double by 2050, barring breakthroughs in treatment, according to the Alzheimer's Association. The drug was tested in people with the earliest stages of disease, those with mild cognitive impairment or early stage dementia who had undergone testing to confirm the presence of amyloid clumps in their brains. Several doctors said Monday they were preparing to offer the drug to their patients and would focus on that population in using the drug. Biogen said Monday up to 2 million people in the United States might be eligible for the treatment. The FDA did not restrict which patient groups could get the drug. Peter Stein, director of the Office of New Drugs in the Drug Center, said in an interview that there was no particular reason why the reduction of amyloid clumps would benefit patients at one stage of the disease and not others, and said physicians should discuss the medication with their patients and decide on the best course. Ronald Peterson, director of the Mayo Clinic's Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, called the FDA's conditional approval a good outcome to a complicated situation. He said the decision means patients will be able to receive the treatment outside of clinical trials, but that because of the equivocal nature of the efficacy data, the company will have to conduct another trial proving the therapy works. If the FDA had required such a trial before granting approval, he said, the drug would not have been available to patients outside of studies for another 3 to 5 years, an outcome he viewed as undesirable. He also predicted Aduhelm will be just one element in an anti-Alzheimer's arsenal in coming years as researchers develop combinations that are more effective than single medications. Jason Karlowish, a neurologist at the University of Pennsylvania's Perelman School of Medicine, had a starkly different view. He wrote on a May 30 column for Stat News, a news site that covers medicine and health, that he would not prescribe aducanumab if approved because the data were incomplete and the therapy had not been properly studied. On Monday, after the FDA announcement, he expressed continued reservations about the drug, but said he would discuss it with his patients and respect their choices. But he said some patients and colleagues had expressed discomfort about the FDA's decision, saying evidence that lowering amyloid and improving cognition was thin. And he said he was concerned it would be difficult to conduct the follow-up study on the drug once it is widely available outside of clinical trials. The FDA has used its accelerated approval program many times for cancer drugs, clearing therapies, for example, that shrink tumors, and then requiring a follow-up study showing whether the drug improves survival. But getting pharmaceutical companies to comply with mandates to conduct the post-approval studies has at times been difficult, and the agency has sometimes been slow to yank approved drugs from the market, even when the follow-up studies fail or aren't completed. The drug has followed a rocky road. In 2019, Biogen halted two late-stage trials halfway through after an assessment concluded the studies would not reach their goal of slowing cognitive and functional impairment in Alzheimer's patients. But in a sharp reversal, a company analysis with additional data released several months later came to a different conclusion. In one of the clinical trials, that analysis found people given the drug declined 22% more slowly than those who receive a placebo. The other trial fails to reach its goal, though the company was encouraged by data from a subset of study participants who got more of the drug. Biogen concluded a key to effectiveness was giving patients a high enough dose for a long enough time. Critics, however, said the data had been selected to make the drug look better than it was. In an acrimonious meeting last fall, an FDA advisory committee recommended against the drug's approval and harshly rebuked the agency's review staff for supporting the medication so strongly and working closely with the company. But supporters of the drug Monday were ecstatic about what they call a watershed moment following years of crushing disappointments in trying to find a way to treat the devastating disease. Michael Venosos, chief executive at Biogen, called the decision a historic moment that would transform the treatment of people living with Alzheimer's disease and spark continuous innovation in the years to come. The approval bolsters the long-debated theory proposed in the early 1990s that targeting amyloid plaques can be an effective way to treat Alzheimer's. Detractors have complained that the focus on amyloid has squeezed out other work on important approaches such as targeting a protein called tau or examining the role of inflammation. Supporters counter that while multiple approaches should be pursued, the aducanumab approval shows that anti-amyloid treatments can be beneficial. Aduham can sometimes cause side effects, the FDA said, including temporary swelling of the brain that usually does not cause symptoms, though some people may have headache, confusion, and dizziness. Other potential complications are tiny bleeds in the brain and disorientation. Next, lawmakers, U.S. ransomware payments should be disclosed. More transparency is needed into what kind of cash payments are made after ransomware attacks, a top Democrat said, following a recent spate of cyber attacks aimed at U.S. companies. Mark Warner, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, spoke days after a top U.S. meat producer needed to shut down facilities that account for almost a quarter of American beef supplies after a cyber incident. Not only are the companies often not reporting that they are attacked, but they're not reporting the ransomware payments, Warner said on NBC's Meet the Press. It's worth having a debate over whether to make paying ransoms illegal for U.S. companies, said Warner, who's also co-chair and founder of the Senate Cybersecurity Caucus. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm on NBC's Meet the Press backed a possible ban on ransomware payments. We need to send the strong message that paying a ransomware only exacerbates and accelerates this problem. You are encouraging the bad actors when that happens, she said. The cyber attack on JBS USA followed the incident in May in which Colonial Pipeline Company was forced to shut the largest East Coast gasoline pipeline network for days after a cyber attack. Both incidents have been tied to Russian-based hackers, and the issue will be on the agenda when President Joe Biden meets with Russian President Vladimir Putin on June 16th. Senator Angus King of Maine, an independent who caucuses with Democrats and is also on the intelligence panel, said private companies should be subject to mandatory reporting of a breach but also receive liability protection, creating an entirely new relationship between the federal government and private sector. There has to be trust. And there has to be real-time reporting, King said on CNN State of the Union. I mean, the Colonial Pipeline, my understanding is it wasn't reported to the government for 4 or 5 days. I think they had already paid the ransom. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo stopped short of proposing that the U.S. government require businesses to secure their technology in specific ways. Instead, the Biden administration would urge companies to adopt higher standards and remain vigilant on cybersecurity, Raimondo said on ABC's This Week. FBI Director Christopher Wray has compared ransomware attacks when the victim is targeted by a type of malware and a ransom is demanded to the challenges posed by the September 11, 2001 attacks on the U.S. The FBI is investigating about 100 types of ransomware, he said last week. Next, Google overhauls global ad after French antitrust fine. Google agreed to pay $268 million and change the way its business works across the world after settling a France probe that struck at the heart of its power over online advertising. France's antitrust agency said Monday the U.S. tech giant used its dominance over ad sales and purchasing on its platforms to distort the market to its own advantage, hurting publishers such as News Corporation. Google took advantage of its vertical integration to skew the process, Isabelle Da Silva, who heads France's Autorité de la Concurrence, said at a Paris News conference on Monday. She described Google's behavior as particularly serious. The decision is a rare look inside the black box of online advertising, where Google automatically calculates and offers ad space and prices to advertisers and publishers as a user clicks on a web page. Google also entered a pledge to remedy the situation by making sure its Google Ad Manager services work more smoothly for third parties. The French authority criticized Google for favoring its DoubleClick for Publishers ad service, where publishers sell ad space, and its ADX or DoubleClick ad exchange, where publishers sell page impressions to advertisers. Da Silva said that Google intends to apply some of these commitments at a worldwide level. With separate cases into Google, Apple Inc., and Facebook Inc., French antitrust regulators are starting to rein in anti-competitive behavior in online advertising. While Google's case ended with a fine, Facebook last week tried to avoid that by making commitments to placate regulators. Google said in a blog post, it's committed to working proactively with regulators everywhere to make improvements to our products. The company said it will be testing and developing behavioral changes agreed as part of the settlement over the coming months. The Google case stems from a complaint lodged in 2019 by News Corporation, the group behind French newspaper Le Figaro and media firm Group Russell Lavoie S.A. Le Figaro Group decided to withdraw from the case in November 2020. For years, there was a fear of taking on these platforms because they were too powerful, said Da Silva. On Monday, she added that she fully expects damages requests to be lodged following the regulator's decision. French Finance Minister Bruno Le Maire said it's essential tech giants heed the country's competition rules. He pointed out that Google's behavior impacted media groups whose economic model is strongly dependent on advertising revenue. The case sprang from a study the French Competition Authority published in 2018 after conducting a sector inquiry into online advertising, which put the spotlight on the power of Google and Facebook. Google has already attracted French antitrust scrutiny over online advertising in the past, with a €150 million fine in 2019. The search engine also risked a penalty in the coming weeks over suspicions it failed to comply with an order relating to its new service. The French settlement is the latest in a series of efforts to crack down on Silicon Valley's market dominance across the continent. Last week, Google's news service was targeted by a German probe. The EU and the UK also opened investigations into Facebook over how it uses some information from advertisers. Next, GM offers OnStar service to drivers of any vehicle. Drivers of vehicles other than those made by General Motors now have access to OnStar's emergency advisors and additional services. OnStar, the GM subsidiary that offers subscription-based services such as communications with trained advisors, in-vehicle security, emergency, and roadside help, is making its OnStar Guardian mobile app available to anyone in the U.S. and Canada with a compatible Apple or Android cell phone. Sign-up started Monday for the OnStar Guardian app for $15 a month. Customers will have 24/7 access to emergency advisors and other services. The customer can add up to 7 friends or family to a plan for free. OnStar leaders said offering the app to a broader audience offers protection at a crucial time. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I am Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.